Hi and welcome to this truly exceptional episode. I am Alex Fruitfit, and today we have three of the world's top influencers in the raw vegan movement. You're here together to discuss how we build lean muscles on fruit. Because when we start a high fruit, high raw vegan diet, we often experience many improvements on the skin, the mood, the sleep, energy level, maybe weight loss. But some raw vegans experience a loss of muscle and struggle to get it back on or even to build more. And especially, I've seen many young men like me turn away from the diet because of this, of not building that strength. So for today, we have a masterclass. I've broken down this discussion into what I believe are the five main pillars of building lean muscles on fruits, let's say on a high fruit, high raw vegan diet. First, we'll talk about what to eat. Then we'll talk about the right quantities to eat. Then we'll talk about how to train properly. Then how to recover well. And the last part will be about the mindset. So Shane, Doug, and Ted, you are the three I really wanted for this episode because you are also athletes yourselves and you're training others to be fit on top of being on a high fruit, high raw vegan diet. So today we have Dr. Doug Graham, author of the 80-10-10 diet, which to me is like the Bible of a healthy raw vegan diet. And you're lifetime athletes, you're now into powerlifting and training many top performers, including NBA players and bodybuilders. Then we have Shane Sterling. I believe you're an embodiment of health, vitality, and longevity. You're the leader of a movement called Raw Vegan Rising, and your community has thousands of people who go through detox and then build in a healthy way on a raw vegan diet. And you're a true mentor and leader of that movement. And then last but not least, we have Ted Carr, the famous fruitarian triathlete for many years who's inspired thousands around the world to become raw vegan. And now you've built an exceptional physique primarily on fruits. And I've learned so much from you, from how to build muscles on that diet. And also now you're dedicated to helping people build their online business where I think contentpreneurship, your brand is amazing too. So thank you, Doug, Shane, and Ted for being here. Thank you to the listener. I recommend you listen to everything. However, if you want, you can also use the chapters at the bottom of the video to go to the chapter that interests you the most. We're here all on an important mission to get raw vegans healthy and fit to inspire more people to change their diet and habits. So if you want to support, please hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and share this video. And one last thing, you can check the links below and you'll see how to follow our guests today. They have amazing things to offer, as well as free resources to help you on your journey. Okay, let's get started. Welcome, Shane, Ted, and Doug. I believe we have three generations here, right? So can you start with sharing your age, each of you? Start with you, Doug.
I'm 70.
And you, Shane?
I'm 50.
Ted?
I'm 99.
You look really good for 99.
Thank you, man. No, I'm actually 99 divided by 3.
Nice. Same for me, actually. Important number. Great. So let's start with what to eat. And I'd like to start with you, Doug, because as I told you, to me, 80-10-10 diet is like a Bible. And I know, at least I know you, Ted, you got really inspired from it. I'm sure Shane too. So Doug, what's a healthy raw vegan diet, especially targeting at gaining strength and muscles? And we can especially touch on the need for protein and potential supplements. That's usually what people think of when they think of building muscles.
Okay, I'm going to be the odd man out tonight. And I'll let you know right up front about that, because because otherwise we're all in agreement on everything, and we don't need to repeat what each of us says. So I'm going to step back. It's a great question, and I'm going to step back first to your introduction, if I can, Alex, because you talked about building muscles, and we're it's basically why we're here tonight. But I'm going to go on record and just say that I'm not in favor of it particularly. It's not something I'm going for, is to build muscles. We'll talk about how, but I want to express up front that that's not a goal for me, and it's not one that I encourage for most people. And I can talk about why another time. You also said in the intro, you mentioned that people go on a raw vegan diet and then they lose muscle. And I don't think that's true at all. I don't think anybody, there's no diet that causes you to lose muscle other than starvation itself. Inactivity, you can end up with some muscle loss. But certainly there's no diet that results in muscle loss. That just doesn't happen. And in fact, there's no diet that causes muscle gain. So as far as the low-fat raw vegan diet that I espouse, yes, we're looking to eat as much fruits, fresh fruits as possible in order not to have any cravings for fruit in between meals or sweets or heavy foods, or really be completely craving free, other than perhaps every once in a while somebody might crave salt. And if they are, they're not eating enough vegetables. And if you increase your vegetable consumption as well, the beauty of training heavy and training hard is it's pretty much a license to eat anyway. So you can have as much fruit and vegetable as you like. You also said one other thing that I just want to go up front with, which was you talked about our focus tonight on gaining muscle and on gaining size. And there's a place for that. Granted, there's a place for that and a way to do it. But then you also equated that with strength. And I'm going to again say these are two completely separate things, two completely separate types of training. They're different goals. The people who are training for size are not training for strength. The people training for strength are not training for size. And they use a different regimen completely, even though the diet might be very similar. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Doug. And yeah, we'll get into it on the training. Ted, what you like to eat to gain, let's say, yeah, lean muscle?
Yeah, as Doug just beautifully put, and this is why everyone loves Dr. Doug Graham, and this is why everyone should read his book, because every sentence out of his mouth, every sentence of the book is like worth highlighting. It's absolutely gold. And to answer your question of like, what do I eat to gain muscle? To piggyback on Doug, it's like, I just eat to fuel myself throughout the day. And if part of my activity happens to be me going to the gym and lifting for muscle growth, then so be it. The diet will do me well. And that happens to be primarily fruit. It's like 99% of my calories throughout the year come from fruit. Of which I'd say about, of all the fruit I eat, probably 80 to 90% of it is considered low fat fruit, like bananas, dates, oranges, melons, peaches, plums, watermelons, like these sorts of things. And then, you know, the other 10-20% is like avocados or durian or something. But unlike other raw vegans who typically eat good amount of nuts and seeds and even cruciferous vegetables, I don't really touch that stuff. Like if it's at a raw vegan restaurant, I'll have some cashew sauce on my zucchini noodles or something. Or I'll have some, you know, broccoli that's in a wrap that my friend Lisa just made for me. But you'll never see me put broccoli or cauliflower or any of the hard cruciferous stuff in my cart at the grocery store. Nor will you see any nuts and seeds in my house. It's just fruit. And then outside of fruit, if I can't get enough good quality fruit, then like as a backup emergency, I'll have like some quinoa or rice or buckwheat or a cooked bowl like that. But that's generally like one cup's worth, which is approximately 600 calories worth, which is something I'll have every now and again. But again, throughout the year, 99% of my calories comes from carbohydrate rich fruits.
Nice, thanks, Ted. How about you, Shane? In your videos, I've heard you talk about you include more nuts also and for fats and wrapped protein in them, right?
No, everyone wants to build muscle. Every man, you know, no man wants to appear weak or scrawny, especially adopting a raw food diet. People are going to be fearful of losing muscle mass. So we've just got to do what it takes to fuel our body to have, maintain, or build muscle mass, depending on what our goal is. But the real goal for everyone is to be healthy and to be a leader to themselves, to live an exceptionally healthy life without causing health problems or compromising our health in some way. And so most people are going to come to building muscle with through the mainstream fitness narrative, which says we have to eat 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, which is absolutely insane and will lead you down a path of destroying your health. And that's exactly what happened to me. I got caught up in that narrative many years ago, and I had to completely detox my body. It's one of the reasons that I came to a raw vegan diet. And learning how to cleanse and detox my body properly has now set me up to be able to understand truly how to build and maintain muscle mass without damaging my health, which basically means we have to eat an alkaline diet, primarily raw fruits and vegetables. I have a slightly different take on the macronutrient ratio of fats than, say, Doug's 80-10-10, but not far off. I would generally say I'm low fat compared to the standard American or standard fitness narrative. And the thing is that most young men are going to come to building muscle and get caught up in this, that what I eat builds muscle, that I can literally just eat animal protein and build muscle. Nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, if we eat animal protein, we're going to be what I call burning the candle at both ends, which means we are damaging the metabolic processes in our body, accumulating waste, which leads to premature aging. So maybe you're jacked in your 20s or 30s at the cost of looking terrible, destroying your health by the time you're in your 50s. Now I'm 50 years old. I'm 185 pounds. You know, I'm pretty muscular. I bench 225 at the gym. My goal isn't to be big. My goal is to be a strong, masculine leader. And so when people look at me, they would never know or think that I'm raw vegan. Most people think I'm 28 or 30 years old. That's because I eat a raw vegan diet. And I've been plant-based for 34 years. So I first went vegan when I was 17. I started juicing, eating raw foods when I was 17 years old. And I've been on this path to master a plant-based diet ever since. And what it's led me to is a raw vegan diet and understanding how to cleanse and purify the bowels and the blood and the lymph and fueling the body to exercise properly. So when I go to the gym, my goal is to be strong. I want to lift heavy weight, you know? So I just need calories for that. It doesn't matter. Now I shoot for about 20% of my calories from omega-3 rich sources of fats primarily. So I focus on like chia seeds, hemp seeds, flax seeds. I put them in my smoothies, you know, pre-workout smoothie. I don't focus on a lot of nuts. I'm not anti-nuts, but I don't eat a lot of nuts, so to speak. That's not necessarily a good approach, but I do know that raw fats in the diet are really different than cooked fats, and they just work different in the body. A raw vegan diet, even with a slightly higher fat intake, is going to provide an incredibly positive lipid profile in the blood. It does not interfere with health, acidosis, premature aging, congesting the lymphatic system, congesting the bloods and the organs and things like this that cause health problems. So eating a raw vegan diet with raw nuts and seeds is great. We should just stay raw, because if we turn to the animal products and the cooked foods thinking that's going to help us build muscle, we're going to burn the candle at both ends, end up worse than we were before. And everyone thinks that having muscle is great in your 20s and 30s, but what happens when you're 50, 60 and beyond? Then you're going to lose it. You're going to regret all those years of horking down animal protein and whey protein powder and stuff like that. So my whole approach, to sum it up, is be a badass. Just be a masculine man, lift weights. Don't be a wimpy, skinny, scrawny, raw vegan and be an example of ridicule. Just do what you got to do to have the muscle mass to be a badass leader. And you can eat whatever the hell you want. I just happen to have to eat raw vegan to be the man I want to be, to have the health I want to have the anti-aging of benefits, you know, the biohacking benefits. So for me, raw vegan and being muscular are just kind of different goals. I'm raw vegan for my health, my consciousness, my energy levels, like fueling my greatness, you know, my spiritual evolution and purpose. And being in the gym, lifting weights, being strong, bench pressing 225, doing progressive overload, that's just to be a masculine man, to feel like a leader, be a badass, be capable of leading my team and my company and making money and inspiring others. So that's my approach.
Nice. And yeah, you go.
Can I comment?
Yeah.
I love it. Everybody's very clear. And I got to say, I love it. And I know what you mean, Shane, when you say every man wants to build muscle. But I disagree. I've talked to thousands and thousands of runners who are absolutely petrified that they're going to gain muscle if they do strength training, and they don't want to gain muscle. Yes, they'd like to get stronger. That intrigues them, but they really don't want to gain muscle. I've talked to hundreds. I've done seminars solely for triathletes, and they absolutely positively don't want to gain muscle. I used to coach back in the 80s. I used to coach the U.S. springboard diving team and platform diving team down in Fort Lauderdale. And all of them, the Chinese had just come in and were starting to make this sound when they hit the water instead of a splash. And they realized that getting big shoulders worked against them. And they were coming to me to say, how do I train so I don't gain muscle? Because they didn't understand how to train without. And I understand some people do want to gain, but I would say that there's far more runners in the world than there are weightlifters, and that the majority of men don't want to gain muscle. Now, maybe there's some side of them that would, maybe there's some little part of them inside that says, oh, I'd like to gain muscle, but it's going to be adverse effect on all of their cardio sports. So cardio sports.
Let me just chime in. Well, also, there's millions and millions of young men across the world, especially in America, first world nations, where they're, you know, they're afraid to not be muscular enough, or they're scrawny and they can't get girls. I mean, think about the millions of young men, and then they research how to build muscle, or how to change their physique, how to be masculine, how to be.
Absolutely. You're correct.
You know, and then they come to this.
Although getting muscles isn't going to get them girls.
Well, then they come to the fitness narrative that they have to eat animal protein, and then they're caught up in that. So addressing the people's desire and need to have muscle, build muscle, be muscular, I think is important, so they don't get trapped in the animal-based fitness narrative that leads them down a treacherous path.
Okay. So if I can finish, we're all experiments of one when it comes to diet. I don't think it's particularly fair or honest to tell people, look at me, I look young, it's because of my diet. We know that there's dietary potential to increase or rapidify the aging process, but hitting your normal potential, you know, you say that you're biohacking. And I think we're just tapping into our normal potential. We're not actually hacking or cheating or fooling the body in any way. And it's interesting because even when talking about gaining muscle, you express that your goal is to be strong. I'm coming out in full agreement with you on so much of what you said. The goal is to be strong. And so although we talk about those millions of young men who want to gain muscle to get the girl, even though we know they won't, and still we openly admit that the goal is to be strong, because bigger isn't better in any sport except bodybuilding.
Yeah, you're not going to get big lifting weights unless you go out of your way to get big. But being muscular and having a great physique is the byproduct of being strong. And many men, especially young men, are going to turn away from the idea of a raw vegan diet, thinking that it's going to emasculate them, it's going to destroy their muscle mass, and that it's going to make them a laughing stock and ridiculed by their friends.
I would say all three of us certainly can show them that that's
well, yeah, definitely. And so I go out of my way in my messaging and what I share with people online and YouTube and whatnot to reinforce the certainty that diet is to fuel our health, and being strong and muscular is a different goal. And so that we don't need to be afraid of a raw vegan diet. It's real important to be an example of a raw vegan diet working at a very high level of effectiveness, you know, for muscle mass and everything else. So for me, I like to showcase that because that's what talks to people. And so a lot of people will come to me and, you know, I have thousands of clients, and a lot of people come to me because they see that I have muscle mass. And I mean, I can't tell you how many men, hundreds of men a month reach out to me and say, you know, I'm underweight. I'm 6 feet and weigh 135. And I want to look like you. I want to be like you. Can you help me? What do I need to do? You know, so I'm in the thick of it. I'm just working with people every single day, literally messages today of men who are underweight, who need help, who want to be raw vegan. They want to be raw vegan. They see the potential of an alkaline whole raw plant-based diet. They want that. And they need guidance because they haven't been able to figure it out on their own, you know, and they're underweight now at this point, and they've lost muscle mass. And so I think it's important to show people what the possibility is.
And thank you, Shane. And if I can jump in here, and thanks guys, for it's beautiful that there's a flow of conversation also, and that's why, bring you together here. I would say also, because Shane, maybe you work more with people who are, let's say, average people, while Doug, you work with athletes. So it's, for example, with athletes, it's true, it's going to be different goals for a bodybuilder than for a strongman. But in general, for someone who's just never going to the gym, if they aim for strength, they also gain, like, look more muscular. Or if they try to build their muscle, they'll also generally gain strength. So I think that's also where it's a little bit different.
I don't agree with either of those, but okay.
And for example, like a professional triathlete, yeah, doesn't want to gain muscle, but a lot of people who want to look more muscular. And I'm actually interested also to get Ted, because you haven't spoken much, Ted. And I know you've been a triathlete before, and then you worked out and maybe ate differently, I don't know, to build the physique you have now. So what's been your, like, do you want to react first to that conversation on strength and bodybuilding, and also share a little bit of your experience? Did you change any food between being a triathlete and strength?
Sure, yeah, just a fun story. I met Doug at Woodstock many, many years ago, and then I met him again in, I believe it was Denmark, at a fruit festival. And in Denmark, I was on the schedule to host a class called something like Raw Vegan Strength Training or something. And Doug walks into the class, and he's just observing the class. And there I am with 30 people, getting them to do like a bunch of push-ups and calf raises and bodyweight squats and high rep ranges. And afterwards, Doug came up to me and he's like, "Ted, do you think you were helping people build strength?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "No, that was endurance." And so Doug is very specific with the words, whether it's strength or muscle size or endurance or just, I guess, general fitness. But there is a vast difference in training styles between, like, training for strength and training for bodybuilding, like, completely different. And you can actually get stronger without looking stronger. You can get stronger without being.
I'll agree with that. So, Alex, when you say, like, if you're stronger, if you're bigger, you're going to look stronger. If you're stronger, you're going to look bigger. No. I do not agree with that.
Yeah. So when I was training for triathlon, I didn't want to get any bigger or heavier. I loved being like 130 pounds. And then someone came to me, a professional triathlete, and told me that if I train heavy leg press, like 2 to 3 reps, I'll be able to get stronger on the bike and in the run without putting on more mass and more weight. And I was like, that's amazing. I'm going to do that. So yeah, as a triathlete, I started to train for strength. I didn't want any exercise. I didn't want any extra muscle. As Shane was saying that, you know, most guys want to gain muscle. And it's true. Most kids in America, sure, they want to be big and muscular like the Hulk or whatever. But triathletes, professional athletes, runners, no, they want to be lean, fast, light. So that was my experience back in the day with that.
I don't think it's just professional. It's amateurs too. Anybody that's in a cardio sport, I mean, if you're a swimmer, you don't want to be gaining 10 pounds of muscle. It's going to sink you like a stone.
Yeah. So anyone who optimizes for cardio is not going to be optimizing for size gains. But yeah, when I was a triathlete, my diet then as a triathlete has not differed much from how it is now. It's the same sort of diet. The only difference is now I take a bit more liberty in how much cooked food I'm eating, which still isn't much. But back then I was like dogmatic, 100% raw, cooked food is poison type of mentality. But still ultra low fat back then. 10% of my calories came from fat. Now it's maybe 15, 20% the most. But diet's generally the same. It's just the training is completely different. And you know what's interesting, actually? I looked through my training diary and my dietary diary. Back when I was 125 pounds or 130 pounds, I was the same height then as I am now, just 5'10". When I was 130 pounds, I ate more, way more calories than I do now. And I weigh about 155, 160 calories now. So you're wondering, how the heck is Ted eating less calories while weighing more? And it's because when I was 130 pounds, it's 130 pounds for a reason. I was doing so much cardio, like 20, 30, 40 hour weeks. You know, and so I was just burning through so many more calories. But whenever people find out that I was eating more calories back then and I only eat about, you know, 2,200 calories now, give or take, people think it's complete BS and they don't think I'm tracking my calories properly, whatever. But if you don't do much cardio and you just aim to put on muscle mass, muscle size, then you really don't need an exorbitant amount of calories. Like, where am I burning my calories? If I'm inactive for 23 and a half hours a day, where am I burning my calories? I go to the gym for half an hour. The rest of the time I'm laying down, I'm sitting on my chair, I'm working, I'm sleeping. So this is, and this perspective of thinking you need like an exorbitant amount of calories is why most people are so freaking fat and why most people in the gym don't look that impressive. The only impressive looking people in the gym, in my opinion, are the people who are lean. And the people who are lean are not overdoing the calories. It's that simple.
Yeah, you can look bigger by being leaner, which is interesting. Just by losing weight and trimming down, it creates the illusion of looking bigger. Revealing the muscle mass that you do have is actually a better goal than trying to put on muscle mass most of the time anyway.
Dude, my shoulders look so much bigger when I'm leaner. And when I'm like bulking, my shoulders look tiny because they're just covered in fat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if people want to show their muscles off, they're asking me, how do you get a six pack? How do you get a six pack? I do no sit-ups. No sit-ups. The six pack comes from decreasing the calories. That's it.
I found myself very thin and underweight because I went vegan at 17 for the animals. So here I was, a young kid, and didn't really think about food or health at all. I was just vegan for the animals. I never took a single B12 supplement for a good 15 years.
Did we lose
them? Or late 20s. I was definitely underweight for my height. I'm 6'2". And so I started to become self-conscious of being a skinny 6'2 adult male. And so I started to examine what I was going to need to do to kind of just fill myself out a little bit, you know, because I really was underweight, maybe 145, you know, 150. And so I wasn't happy with that. And that's what led me to understand, you know, that lifting weights will help put some muscle mass on my body. But what happened to me is I did, when I was 30 years old, actually, no, excuse me, 40 years old, I really started getting into weightlifting, and I got caught up in the fitness narrative of eating animal protein. I abandoned my vegan roots, my authentic, true nature to be vegan, and started with this 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight nonsense. And it destroyed my health. Within just 5 years, I had severe joint pain and tendonitis repeatedly happening in my joints. I had chronic seborrheic dermatitis in my scalp, which is dandruff, comes down into the face and stuff. So I was showing signs of severe gut problems and inflammation just after a few years of that. That's when I realized, okay, I have to go back to being strict vegan. This time I'm going to go raw vegan, because I had been fully aware of the raw vegan diet for a couple decades, and I had experimented with fasting. I'd experimented with being fully raw in my 30s. So when I knew I needed to detox, heal myself, clear out the acidosis in my joints from this animal-based protein, that's when I went fully raw vegan. I've been fully raw vegan ever since. But my need and my desire to kind of no longer be that scrawny adult male is still there. And so now it's like, how do I do that as a raw vegan? And really, it comes down to just progressive overload. That's what I've said. I mean, what I've learned is progressive overload. You just get a little bit stronger each time. You lift a little more weight. So for 3 years, I absolutely hyper-focused on tracking my progressive overload. What got me from 150 pounds or 145 to 185 now is tracking for 3 years meticulously my progressive overload. So I kept notes. Every time I hit the bench press, I would track exactly what weight and exactly how many reps. And I just would try to increase that little by little. And over the course of the years, I was able to increase my strength. And I really wanted to hit 225. That was a big milestone for me. I worked at it for years. I can't tell you how good it felt to hit 225 finally, to be able to rep that. And then once I hit that, my goal became to do 8 reps at 225. And that took me a couple years on top. So to hit 8 reps at 225 is no small thing. I think only less than 1% of men can do that. It takes meticulous training to hit that. And so then the food comes into play. Like, I don't want to get tendonitis again. Oh, no way. I don't want to get dandruff again and chronic skin inflammation problems. No way. I'm going to do this raw vegan, baby. So for me, it's fruit-based, mostly fruit-based. I'm in complete agreement with Doug and Ted on this. And for me, I'll have very low fat days where I'm just primarily fruit. I love fruit mono meals. It makes me feel my best. I'll just sit and have a whole meal of fruit for dinner. But then some days I might go up to 20% fats, you know, on maybe higher days. Maybe I'll let myself have a higher fat day, but it's really not very common. I really just think of myself as a fruit-based raw vegan. I do really love salads and greens, though. So it's something I'll do, either green smoothies or big green salads in the evening. Other than that, it's just kind of a basic raw vegan diet. My macros, when I generally track, are 65% carbs, 20% fat, say on the high end, 15% protein. So I kind of eat in a way that maximizes protein, you know, through greens and sprouts, but not focused on protein at all. I focus on carbs. I focus completely on carbs. Majority of my intake from carbs, and doing that as a raw vegan, and this is the clincher, has made me look and feel the best of my life at 50 years old. I literally look younger than, you know, most men my age. I look like their son. And that's not my goal. My goal is not anti-aging, never has been, never for a second. It's just a byproduct. And then no injuries. I have not gotten injured. I haven't pulled a muscle. I have no joint pain, no aches and pains, no tendonitis, no sign of it, no skin inflammation, nothing in all these years as a raw vegan now, 6 years, fully raw vegan. So that proves to me that the high inflammatory diet of animal-based protein is just a super no-no, and grains and, you know, oatmeal and all that kind of grain, rice. And that if we just eat fully raw vegan, we can have the muscle mass, we can have the strength, we can have the other benefits, which is that we're not going to like mess ourselves up, prematurely age, get this congestion in our body. And I've proven it to myself. I'm convinced. At this point, I'm raw vegan for life, because I don't have the luxury of eating cooked foods. It's like my body doesn't like it. It slows me down, feels terrible. It's like if I eat too much cooked food in a day or something, I have to catch back up. It's like I feel like I slipped down the slope, and now I got to spend days or weeks getting back to feeling amazing again. So I just now I've learned to just avoid the cooked foods and stay primarily fruit-based, raw vegan, and it works extremely well for me. Yeah, and what's interesting too is you know, with TikTok and stuff in the gym, guys will come up to me and say, "Hey, I saw your TikTok channel," because it suggests based on proximity. So the smartphones are like showing my videos to other guys in the gym, and they're like, "I saw your TikTok. You're a raw vegan." Like, and they're like saying to me, "I'm the opposite. I'm a carnivore." And they're like fat and overweight and red faced and like splotchy. And I can just see the inflammation. Not to knock anybody, everybody's doing their best. But it's uncomfortable to admit you're a raw vegan in the gym. I don't think most guys understand. And so if somebody asks me, I'll talk about it. I'll talk about what I do and who I am and like my approach to diet and fitness and lifestyle. But otherwise, I pretty much try to keep it to myself because it is so offbeat. It's so different than any kind of mainstream narrative or diet that, you know, I just march to the beat of my own drum. I'm inspired to be a one of one, kind of like Doug said, it is a one of one. We have to really figure out what works for us. Nobody can tell us what's going to work for us. We got to go through our trials and tribulations. We got to try high fat, low fat. We got to try it and see what works for us and make our own decisions based on our goals, our age, our geographic locations, our desired outcomes. And it is a one of one journey for sure. I know mine has been.
Thanks, Shane. And I just want to raise that because I keep track of the time, like way over Ted and Doug now. So okay. Yeah, I just want to share that.
Thanks
so
you know. For letting me talk.
Doug or Ted, do you want to react to that? And that can be a segue into training properly also.
Yeah. And I can.
Go ahead.
I can always donate some more time to Shane if he needs more time, no problem.
Well, so can I.
I've got lots in the bank.
Thanks, guys, for being generous. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
You need it.
What was the question, Alex?
Well, if one of you two, Doug or Ted, want to react to Shane, is what Shane said, either on more the food aspect or if you want to segue already to how to train.
Okay, mine's quick. Shane, I'd say if you can get your carbs over 70%, you're on the 80-10-10 diet, and you can say you are. It's not that different. And although 80-10-10 sounds dogmatic, it's not. I agree with Ted 100% that over time, as you get more comfortable with it, you learn to be much more flexible with it. As opposed to the 40-15, 45 that the standard Western diet, if your fat content is under 20% of your total calories consumed, you're on 80-10-10. So
I agree with that
it works. And I wrote that in the book, you know, you're proving it works.
There's some flexibility in there for sure. And, you know, for years I was 80-10-10. I was really, I mean, I read your book when I first went raw vegan. I read your book and I was like, well, this is the way, low fat. I had to detox out this acidosis in my body for one. So I stayed really, 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 really low fat for a couple years, actually 3.5 years. And then because I mastered it, they're just a flexibility kind of opened up for me. And I realized, wait, I'm still low fat if I'm eating 15 or even 20% in a day. And I'm not going for fats. Fats aren't a focus. Carbohydrates are the focus, you know?
Yeah, so a quick one for you, Doug. I find it a bit hard to be 80-10-10. I find in general, if I go 80 carbs, my split's more easily like 15 fat and, you know, like let's say 14 fat and 6 protein or something. Because often if I do nuts and seeds, they're usually at least twice the amount of fat compared to the protein. So how do you do 80-10-10 is more with the vegetables, maybe?
80-10-10 is a target where you're attempting to keep your carbs over 80%, your fat and protein under 10.
Okay.
So it's not that you're trying to hit 10. I very rarely have 10% of my calories from protein. and I rarely have 10% from fat. On the days where I eat no fat whatsoever, like just fruits, my fat intake's 6 or 7% of calories. On the day where I include some nuts, which I don't do much. I'm also, like you guys, much more seed oriented than nut oriented, or avocado, even better, fatty fruits, even better. Then my fats can be in the teens. And I'm not worrying about any of those.
Ted, I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm happy to transition to the training. The training is really exciting for me because I think we can all agree what to eat is pretty basic. You just grab some of this most of the time, peel it, eat it, done, next. As far as what happens in the gym, wow, so much variety can happen at the gym. And
that's what happens in the gym.
Like Doug is, I was listening, Doug has got a zombie truck sponsor. the training's the fun part. And the thing that saddens me about this sport, if you will, is unlike triathlon, where I was able to love what I did for 4 or 5 hours a day, in this sport, I can only love what I do for 30 minutes, max an hour, unnecessarily an hour, max 45 minutes, really, realistically, every other day. You know, it's like every day, every other day I do nothing. Like that's part of the training. You do nothing. Like I just chill. So tomorrow I do nothing because today I worked out, and that's kind of sad. But that's a big part of the training plan, is to take rest days, and everyone trains slightly differently. I mean, I guess I could go to the gym every single day and like one day just hit biceps, next day just hit triceps, next day just hit shoulders, next day just hit legs, and just go every single day and hit like one muscle group at a time. But I like to go to the gym 30, max 45 minutes, and hit several muscle groups very intensely, very hard, usually one, maximum two sets per exercise. And then the next day I chill, I do nothing, maybe walk. So that's how I train.
Actually, that's something I read from you also, Ted. Like I was quite inspired by your workouts, whether the tracking that Shane mentioned, for sure, it's so key for me now. And also making sure I recover well. And I've seen in your ebook, like doing 3 times a week. We'll go to Shane. I think Shane, you do more. But before that, I'd love to, as Duke, because personally, I quite like working out. And so I've been sometimes doing push, pull, leg, and alternating like this. So I don't get sore. But I'm afraid even if I change the muscle groups, that somehow don't give my body the time to recover. So I'm interested, maybe Doug, if you want to share on that, because you have quite a lot of experience working with athletes. Do you think it can be healthy to work out, let's say, 6 times a week at the gym and alternate like push movement, pull movement, and leg?
Okay, so we're going to talk about recovery, but you can only train to your ability of recovery. If you're overtraining, you're losing ground. And progressive becomes regressive, and it's not fun. But at the same time, we also have to realize that it's quite different to be a 15-year-old training, learning to train, very inefficient at your training, as compared to somebody who's 33 or 50 in their absolute peak prime time, very good at training, super efficient, like your ability to train far exceeds your ability to recover. It takes more time. And then I'm 70. I'm like Shane. I don't want to get hurt ever. I had more than my share of injuries, you know, when I was eating cooked food. I don't ever want to start having injuries. I can't afford the time it takes. But I also can't train like I could when I was 50, because if I do, I can't recover. There's just no recovery. And this is terrible. I'm trying not to give up any more ground than I absolutely have to. I'm still training. I was out in the gym today doing my bench press, but it's not what it was by a little bit compared to when I was 60, you know. And it's just, that's why they have age categories. So I full well intend to win the national championships in powerlifting come June. you know, but it'll be in my age group. I'm not going to go compete against 40-year-olds. So I think when we design these training programs, we also have to see who are we designing it for, and then what is their goal? Sure, when I was doing cardio, I could do it almost every day of the week. But if I increase the intensity or the duration or the frequency, something else has to give. There's always that give. I agree. I'll tell you guys, Ted trains intense. There's no holding back when you're training with Ted. When I'm training intense. Intensity is my most important factor, not volume, not frequency, intensity.
And yeah, no, you made a really good point. You made a really good point for beginners there, Doug. A lot of people listening, they might be beginners. I don't recommend, just because I train intensely and I get good results from it, and probably just because Shane, you know, throws on 225 for 8 reps or whatever, that goes hard. I don't recommend that for beginners because of various reasons. But number one reason is their technique sucks. So I recommend for any beginner listening, spend the first couple of weeks, if not the first month, just dialing in your technique, some lighter weight, film yourself and show it to a coach or show it to an advanced lifter and be like, hey, how's this technique? If you do not get your technique reviewed, you're going to make the dumbest mistakes ever, like I've made in the past. Like, for example, common one is on bench press. You grab the bar and you're like this. It's like your wrists are going to snap, dude. I have to train so many people to keep their wrists like straight. You know, a lot of beginners, they grab the bar and they're like, boom, okay. And I'm like, oh, your wrist, it like cringes me out. And that's how I screwed up my wrist. I just went super heavy like that on bench where you're supposed to keep them like that. So little things like that, whether it's with pull-ups or bench press or squats or whatever, get your technique filmed, show it to an advanced lifter, show it to a coach first, and then begin your progressive overload journey whilst tracking.
And a quick on that, by the way, Ted, because at the beginning of this podcast, we talked about the difference between training for strength and training for building muscle, which especially when you go more elite, like become more and more different. But still, at least for now, in my head, there's quite a strong correlation. And for example, when I look at you, Ted, or same with you, Shane, I see people who are both strong and look great. So for example, for you, Ted, I look at you, I'm like, okay, you look amazing, but I'm sure you're also gaining strength, right? So how do you train for both, like do you train for both strength and muscle building? Or do you just train for one of the two?
It depends on the exercise. Like I'm trying to get the one arm pull up, that is purely strength.
But that will... Do you think that helps you have a nice back though? Don't you think that?
No. If I want a nice back, I'm going to rep out with a weight belt, like 12, 15 reps max.
No, and I talked to Ted about this a few months ago. I said, if I took 2 months and just did nothing but bodybuilding for 2 months and stack on some muscle, what do you think it will do for my strength training? And Ted's words were, absolutely nothing. And he's right. It wasn't a trick question, but he's absolutely right. Gaining size. Look, if gaining size made you stronger, then the big guys would be winning strength contests, and they're not. If gaining strength made you bigger, then the strongest men in the world would be the biggest, and they're not. So that conversation's over.
It's all relative, Alex, right? You might look at me or look at Shane and be like, oh, they're strong. Yeah, stronger compared to you maybe, but strong compared to our genetic potential, nowhere close. So we don't train for it.
Yeah, but there's a difference between like saying at some point strength and bodybuilding like differentiate, which is totally true, and there can be different training at the elite. But if someone who never goes to the gym starts training for strength, I believe they'll gain some muscle. That seems pretty intuitive to me.
Why? Why would they?
Because when they train, when they lift weights to gain strength, they also need to develop those muscles to gain strength.
Yeah, but you have to understand muscle anatomy. If you understand a muscle anatomy, to realize that 99% of the muscle is water and the small organelles that are inside that water. Okay, that's called sarcoplasm. And when you train for size, you increase the amount of sarcoplasm, so the muscle gets bigger. But when you train for strength, you're using the other 1%. It's not even 1% of the muscle that is known as the myofibril, the contractile portion of the muscle. And it's so tiny that if it doubled in size, you wouldn't see it. It's like if you took the head of a pin and doubled it in size, you don't really notice. It's so small compared to a basketball that's the sarcoplasm, and then you got the head of a pin. So if you get strong, I've doubled my deadlift and more. I've doubled my squat and more. I've put 25 to 30% onto my bench press and more, and I didn't gain an ounce. I just didn't put any muscle.
Doug, it's like if you take someone who never works out and is weak and you get him on a strength training, they will look better. It's like if you look at an MMA fighter, he doesn't care about looking muscly, but they generally look pretty fit. Like there's still quite a strong correlation. I mean, anyway, I'll leave it there, but it feels...
I'm going to say that the strongest man on my gymnastics team looked like the weakest man, but he could do the most outrageous strength moves that none of the rest of us could do, but he looked like the weakest man. He didn't have big muscles. I don't agree. This is something that it's a correlation. You use that word and you're right, in your head, between bigger and stronger, but it's not reality. Mm-hmm. It's just not reality. Could you get stronger if you get bigger? Yeah, you can. But if you're training for big, you're not training for strong. I've talked to lots of big guys and asked them questions about their strength. And every single one of them gave the exact same answer. They said, we're not strong. We're not training for strength. Our numbers, like my bench press isn't really impressive, even though I weigh 300 pounds and I'm nothing but muscle. I don't have a whole lot of bench press. Shane might bench press more than a bodybuilder who's twice your size.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the bodybuilder might still probably bench press more than the average Joe that doesn't.
Of course. That's how they train. Of course, they're stronger than average, but they're not going to be strong compared to strong people.
I'd like to just chime in on the topic of the training style. I've been training at the gym for 12 years. And what I've learned, if I could nutshell it down, it's body mechanics. Understanding body mechanics is so incredibly important, because when you first start lifting weights or you want to look fit, you just want to move the weight around because you're just trying to, your nervous system is trying to adjust to moving the weight. But what happens as you become more advanced is you understand the mechanics of the body at work and the range of motion of the muscle. And that has made the most incredible difference for me as I got past the beginning stages of just moving weight around to understanding and really mastering and feeling the range of motion through the muscle. So now what I do, you know, I have like 16-inch arms, you know, the way I work out my arms, have 16-inch arms, and that's not even big compared to a bodybuilder, but it looks good, you know, it fills my sleeves out. That is solely from working the muscle through the full range of motion, from full extension to full stretch to full contraction. And then when it's at a full contraction, I squeeze and get the blood in there at the contraction point. So it doesn't take a lot of weight to do that. You know, if you want to just increase the size of your arms, it doesn't take weight. It takes the range of motion. So for me, understanding trying to lift weight to understanding how to work the muscle through the full range of motion from stretch to contraction under tension. And then the concept of time under tension, the longer the muscle is under a stretch contraction point under tension, the more it's stimulated and the more it's going to just put on size and expand and have that kind of fitness look. So for me, I'm not even talking about strength or building muscle. I'm just talking about, I guess, looking fit, looking like you work out looking like a fitness model, I think, which is a lot of people's goal, just to fill out their clothes properly, you know, have a chest, have some arms. And I think just taking, so like when I bench press, I'm not even thinking about the weight at all. I need to put 225 on the bar just to have the time under tension necessary. That's just because of the byproduct of how often I do it. But really, it's I need to feel the pec muscles stretch, and then I need to feel them contract. And if I can't feel them stretch and contract, then my mind-muscle connection isn't there. And that's what I do in my warm-up. I'll spend time making sure I warm up with lightweight to feel the connection in my mind so I can feel the tension on the muscle through the full range of motion. And when I do that, my body responds. And then all of a sudden, after a couple months of that, then I look in the mirror and I'm like, whoa, I've made gains. But that has nothing to do with strength. That's just understanding the body mechanics. And then if you do that consistently, you have to actually put more weight on the bar to get the time under tension. So like the 8 to 12 rep range, you just naturally get stronger as you do that consistently. So then my goal, like you want to hit for the ego purposes, you want to hit certain goals, like to make you feel good. Like for me, I really wanted to hit 225. So I worked on that. But now I just like 225 to feel the tension. It's not even about like trying to hit that goal anymore. I'm not even going to shoot for 315 or the next. I'm not interested in hitting more strength goals actually at the gym. Now for me, when I go in, because I'm 50, I don't want to get injured. I don't need to build more muscle mass. I look good. I've got enough muscle mass. I want to maintain my muscle mass. That's very important for me without injury. So taking the muscle through the full range of motion on my workout days is my primary focus. And then I look good, you know, and then I look like, you know, muscular. I look like I work out. And that's a good balance for me. So that's my approach to training.
Yeah, like a Greek god, as you like to say in your video.
A Greek god. A fitness model or a Greek god. Everybody wants to look like that. Yeah, right? It's inspiring.
And Ted, I'm curious also about your training. So, but you didn't really answer, right? You train more for... So, yeah, you do some for strength and some for more bodybuilding?
I rarely touch the strength stuff. That's why I'm so weak. I do mostly like Shane. Like, I don't care too much about the weight. I'm not attached to it. Although I do track it, I don't care too much about it. I just want to feel the pump. I want to come home, take my shirt off, look in the mirror and be like, damn, it looks good. So I couldn't give a crap about one rep max.
Do you do progressive overload?
Yeah, I try to get stronger every week. Yeah. Like every time I go to the gym, I look at what I did last time and I try and beat it. But okay. It's a really fun game for me, which I used to never do. Biggest mistake ever. I wasted so many years of training because I didn't track. Once I started tracking, the gains became crazy. That was awesome. And then halfway through my tracking journey, I did something very interesting. I cut my volume in half, and I noticed my PBs shot through the roof. I started getting personal bests on all my lifts as soon as I started.
You go over trade.
Yeah. So yeah. And I only noticed that because I was tracking, and I had this chart on my app. You can see the volume go down and the strength go up. It's really cool. Like they just cross over. But as I was saying with the training, the tracking and trying to beat what you did last time, I travel a lot. And so that can kind of be a challenge because one incline bench in Texas might be different from an incline bench in England versus going to Doug's house and using his flat bench, which is like, I wouldn't recommend using Doug's flat bench. So like when you travel around the world, they're all different, you know, all these different bars and shapes and styles and gears and mechanics, especially when using machines. Free weight's obviously a bit different, but so when I go on track lifts, I pretty much only track the first set of the first exercise. And then the rest of them, I don't really care too much about. Because it's that first set of the first exercise, then the freshest. It's the most accurate to where I'm at strength-wise. And I give it 110%. So after that first set of the first exercise, my nervous system is kind of shot. Like I'm not capable of producing the same amount of output on my second set of my second exercise, nowhere near as much as the first set of the first exercise. So when I say I track my lifts, I track my exercises, if you look at my diary, you'll see I pretty much only track the first set of the first exercise.
Which app do you use?
I have an Android phone and I use the app called Fit Notes. It is unavailable for iPhone at this time.
Yeah, and by the way, thank you, because after I interviewed about a year ago, I think, I started tracking also and doing that, and I could really see the results. And actually, that's something I do now for clients or my programs. Like, that's such an easy way to see the progress, right? Much faster than, I don't know, before after photos.
So I got a two things, if I can, really quick. You'll get a tickle out of this, Ted. So I track the last set of the last exercise.
Interesting.
Whereas you're tracking the first set of the first. It's because of my focus is purely strength. I'm working up to the heaviest reps. And so I full well understand, but I'd like to ask a question at this point, because I think that we agree with each other. All of us agree with each other a lot more than perhaps it comes across to the audience, because we're talking a little bit of cross purpose. And what I'd like, so my question is, that the comment is, people have to decide what they're training for. Okay. And if they have a specific thing they're training for, then there's ways to be efficient and effective at that. My background is kinesiology and physical education. Before I became a doctor, that's what I did, was I studied movement patterns. So for me, the mechanics are everything. The more I can improve mechanics of movement, the more efficient it's going to become, the less likely you're going to get injured, the more weight you can move, the more reps you can do. All the right things happen as we improve the mechanics. So that's what my eyes see. When Ted says video yourself, I agree 100%. You need somebody watching you. That's why the pros have coaches. And we think as amateurs that we don't need coaches. I think we're fooling ourselves. You always want to have somebody coaching you if possible. It's what I do basically for a living at this point, is I'm coaching people on their movement mechanics. The question becomes, and the answer is already sort of out there already, but for me, what's most important is not the way I look. It's the way I perform. I couldn't give a hoot about the way I look. I care about how do I perform. If what we're training for is for a look, and there's nothing wrong with that, then it's different than training for how do you perform. So we have to decide, and I encourage people to decide in advance a little bit, and you can change your mind. Are you training to achieve a certain look? Ted gave a great talk, how to achieve the body of your dreams, the physique of your dreams, and full well recognize that going for the physique isn't like what an athlete's going to do when they're trying to improve their performance. It's a different thing, and there's nothing wrong with it, but they are different. And in this day and age, we understand that you can be very efficient or very inefficient in your training. As Ted said, he begrudges the decade of inefficient training. Oh, begrudge. I wish I hadn't done that, you know, or Shane and I, we begrudge the injuries we used to have. Like, injuries didn't help any. Yeah, like, oh, what was I thinking? You know, so I wish I hadn't hurt myself as much as I had as a youngster. But I now understand why. It's because I was eating cooked food, and my coordination was not what my brain thought my coordination was. And I kept making judgment errors. That all stopped when I went raw.
Thanks, Duke. Also, I want to raise, we're going past the hour now, so we'll start to slowly wrap it up.
Part like, one Ted, is done.
Yeah. Ted, you're quite behind on the time, and there's something I want to ask you about, which is relating to the last part of this episode, which is the mindset. Like, do you use, I mean, we talked about the body-mind connection, but do you use also pure visualization, something like a meditation when you imagine your dream body, or did you print your brain dream body? How much do you use the mind for that and meditation?
There's two tactics that have worked very, very well for me. The first tactic didn't work. The first tactic I'll give you, it didn't actually work that well until I addressed the second tactic. So these go hand in hand. I don't know if one will work without the other. But here's what I did. First thing I did is first I just found images on YouTube, Instagram, Google images of like the body that I wanted, right? Like the ideal physique, just to know what's possible naturally. Like you got to like Google someone that's your height and has the physique that you want, that you aspire naturally, or if they're on roids, then prepare to take steroids. But I tried to find like a natural physique. And then I was like, okay, like how is this person training? And I just started training more like them. But that vision of how they looked was always in my mind. And I just kept putting my face on that body. And then what I would do is I wrote down like my ideal life vision on a Google Doc on my phone. And then I recorded the audio of it. So every night before bed, I can listen to it. And in that ideal life vision script, it says, Ted Carr has the body of a magazine model. It just like briefly mentions that. And so every night when I go to bed, I can like picture me with like this magazine cover model, or sorry, magazine cover body. And so that just kept implanting in my subconscious mind and my conscious mind, like this body that I want to have, and putting my name beside it, Ted Carr, dream body, Ted Carr, magazine cover body, whatever. It just kept associating my name with that thing. So I felt more like I already had that. So that's the first thing, just implanting the vision. That's step one. But the second step is key, because in the past, what I would do is I would like make self-deprecating jokes about how fat I am. Like, oh, I'm so fat, I got this belly. Like, oh, how do I get rid of this belly? And I'd just like make crack jokes about my fat belly. And I'd like squeeze it and take pictures of it and like send it to my girlfriend and be like, babe, you gotta help me lose weight, because I'm so fat. I kept saying, I'm so fat, I'm so fat, I'm so fat, like as a joke. And it wasn't like fat fat, but it was like probably 15, 20% body fat, enough to not be lean. And it wasn't until I replaced those self-deprecating jokes with self-empowering jokes, like, damn, baby, I'm so sexy. I'm so lean. Look at me. I got a magazine cover body. Like just those types of jokes. It wasn't until I started like making those positive jokes that things started to really change for me. And I remember I did this exact same thing with my car. I used to have a very, very shitty car, 97 Ford Escort. They named it an Escort. They named a car freaking a prostitute. Horrible. Anyways, I used to joke about how I had a Tesla. I was like, check out my Tesla. And I would like joke about that car being a Tesla. And it was only a matter of months before that car became a Tesla. So it's just like making jokes about the things that you want as if you already have them is such an awesome tactic to use in conjunction with the visualization. But I don't know if you can visualize something, but then talk about how you don't have it. You know, it's like, oh, I'm visualizing my dream thing, but then I'm talking about how I don't have it all the time. They're going to cancel each other out. So hold the vision and then joke about already having it. Like, yeah, let's check out this mansion. You know, whatever. Or if you want to date Shane Sterling, be like, oh, I love Shane. He's so hot.
Get in line.
I think mindset is everything. I literally have created everything in my life from my mind first. I operate from my mindset, the discipline of my mindset. My life revolves around my mind's discipline. I don't actually look outside of myself most of the time. It's all an inside game. It's all a mental discipline game. My success in my diet is all mental mindset. In my business, all mindset. So pushing past plateaus of limitation, whether that be in our health, our body, our income, it all is internal first. So mindset is key. And I consider myself to be a mindset expert and mindset coach because it's literally what I focus on. So when I work with a client, for instance, no matter what we're doing, I have a business program. I have 55 clients in my business program right now. Like no matter what you're coming in on health, raw vegan, I got thousands of clients in my Raw Vegan Heroes membership, no matter where they're entering or what their desired goal is, we bring it right down to mindset. We have to understand what our goal is, proper goal setting. We have to get out of our own stories. I always like to say, don't believe your story. Your story doesn't mean anything, you know, so really taking leadership roles. I've done extensive leadership training courses, practices, programs in my life, if I invest, where I invest in coaching and support and education in myself is in mindset and leadership training. So that's my background. And so one of the reasons why I'm able to do what I do and inspire people and be a leader and be a coach and help others is because of the extensive investment in mindset training I've done.
Thanks, Shane. And Doug, also, I'm curious, what's your work on mindset for, especially in the context of...
I agree with everything that was said already. I would add that we have been trained. It's not normal. Okay, normally, if you ask 3 or 4 or 5 year old children, can they do anything? They will say yes. They can do anything. They could play a trombone. They could walk a tightrope. They think they can do anything. And then it took years, maybe decades of training, of beating people down to teach them. By the time, oddly, not that long for a lot of kids, very susceptible to mind management. And so I work with a lot of kids, a lot of youngsters, and ask them if they can do this, that, or the next. And they say, no, I can't do that. And then they show me that they can. And we start working immediately on mindset of, we need to change this mindset from, no, I can't do this. No, I'm not capable. No, I'm not smart enough, good enough, deserving enough, whatever, coordinated enough, strong enough, big enough, whatever. To yes, 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 yes. There's got to be a lot of yes. In my own life, there used to be a saying, fake it till you make it. I'm not really talking about faking it, but I do want to envision everything that I want to have come to me in my life that I'm going to create. So I'm going to take a playbook out of Fully Raw Christina and say that I'm fully responsible, Doug. I do take full responsibility for everything that's in my life.
Amazing. Thanks, Doug. And so to wrap it up, first, I want to really honor each of you because the three of you are really inspirational men in my life. And I believe this episode will inspire a lot of people in general, but especially I would say men on the raw vegan diet to show up in a way that takes, where we take responsibility and where we really show up well in the world. Doug, your book 80-10-10 is really to me a Bible of being a raw vegan, and I've learned so much from it. That's really the foundation. And then I've talked to you already, Shane, and you've always been an aspiration for me of integrity. And being a business leader as well as a leader in the health, and someone I look up to, and when I'm like, okay, I want to look like that when I'm 50 for sure. And Ted, also thank you so much because I've done your 30 days road challenge. Also, it's amazing. It's free. You give so much amazing free content. I mean, your communities on school, the contentpreneur, the free one, the paid one, and so whether it's on the raw vegan side or even building a business, and then I launched myself in more of the health and fitness coaching. You've all been amazing role models for me, but I'm sure for thousands and thousands, if not more. So it's been really my honor to have you in this podcast all together. I'd like to give each of you a little bit to wrap up. Ted, you're quite a lot behind in terms of speaking. So I'll ask just Shane and Doug, really keep it to a minute max. Otherwise, I'll cut you off. Ted, you can go for 3 or 4 minutes. If you wish to. So who wants to start with a last share?
I'll go. 1 minute, 1 minute. All right. I would say that for anyone who is looking to go raw vegan or change their health, take command of their life, leadership in their life, with their physique, with their health, go raw vegan for sure. Number one step is community and accountability. We can't transform alone. We're not supposed to do it alone. We go further together. We learn faster together. It's imperative I started my group coaching program, Raw Vegan Heroes, when I went raw vegan to have people around me to create an accountability for myself. And it's exploded. It's grown to 3,000 people currently. We've had 6,000 people come through the program over the last 4 years. And accountability is the number one thing we need. A lot of people think, oh, I need to buy a juicer. Oh, I need to buy supplements. Oh, I need to download this app or do all these things. I would say the first thing we need is to surround ourselves with other powerful truth seekers and health nuts and raw vegans. Surround ourselves. The proximity effect will have more impact. You don't need to spend money right off the bat. You need to, if anything, just surround yourself. So that's why I have my group coaching program, Raw Vegan Heroes, for accountability. I would highly recommend it for everyone. It's incredible. And it's much bigger than me. I'm, of course, a coach in the group, but I have an entire team of coaches who are there 24/7. And we have weekly Q&As and monthly Zoom meetings. And the community at large shares recipes, meal ideas, inspirations every single day. It's incredible. So that's what I offer. And also on my website, I have a free video course, how to go raw vegan start here guide, if anybody's interested. That's a completely free video course. Talks about how I started my raw vegan journey and what led me to be successful. And it's all outlined in my video course. So I have both of those to offer.
Thank you so much, Shane.
Duke.
I'm just going to encourage people to eat more fruit, be very clear about what they want to have happen, train efficiently and effectively, use a coach. I couldn't agree more, Shane. Surround yourself with the people who have what you want. Associate with the people who have what you want, whether that's books, tapes, live associations, seminars, doesn't really matter, but associate with the people who already have exactly what you want or who you want to become, and they will rub off on you. I mean, that's how it happens always. And so I appreciate the time. I appreciate the platform. If you want to know more about what I do, I know, Alex, you'll make that available to people. If you're looking for custom coaching, that's what I do for each individual. And, you know, if you want to learn to become a 80-10-10 coach, we're certainly, you know, the 80-10-10 certified coaching program that Ted and I and my wife have put together, I think is second to none. I will tell you, it's second to none.
And that's at 811coaching.com, right, Doug?
811coach.com, correct.
811coach.com, perfect. Well, if anyone watching wants my complete diet and workout guide, all in one, completely for free, just send me a DM, either on Instagram or Facebook, with the word gains, and I'll have it sent over to you within the hour, I'm sure. Complete diet, complete workout guide, all free. Shows exact exercises I do, the exact food I eat, when I eat it, how I eat it, how I track my lifts, tips and tricks on how to have your dream physique. It's all in there. Just send me a DM with the word gains. And maybe one day you can have biceps like that. Today is not bicep day, unfortunately. Would have been a good day for biceps.
The pump. You need the pump.
Yeah, that's another tip. Do the workout before recording the videos. Thank you so much, guys. It's been an honor. Also, thank you so much to the people who watch or listen to this. If you liked, hit the like button, subscribe to this channel as well as all of our channel, and follow us on Instagram. I'll put the links. And don't hesitate to share this video to pass on that important message that we can be raw vegan, we can be high fruit and be strong and have a lot of vitality and look amazing. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you again, Alex. Really appreciate the opportunity.